Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke, from chapter 13. We'll read verses 10 through 17. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1487. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 13:10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when Jesus said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Jesus. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. The human hand is a marvelous thing. I hope storyteller, writer, and teller Doris Hydock will not mind me sharing a portion of one of her stories. It's from her 2002 CD entitled Holidays. Now, if you get a chance to listen to the CD, or better still, to see and hear her in person, by all means do so. She's a much better storyteller. Plus, there's more to the story than what I'll share here. Wearing his Davy Crockett coonskin cap, 8-year-old Davy Dodge is being chased by his 6-year-old brother Paul, who wants to wear the cap. Davy taunts, "No, you can't wear it. You have a girl's name. Polly want a cracker." Brothers, best bed bunk buddies and constant playmate, worst tormentor and consistent competitor. They were also supposed to play quietly because their younger twin sisters are sick and down for a nap. Through the yard, around the house, into the kitchen, and up the stairs, Davy is chased by Paul. Davy is about 2.5 steps ahead as he bounds into the bedroom and pushes the door behind him. With his right hand stretched to stop the door, Paul lets out a scream. The startled sisters awake and cry. Mom jumps up from her bed where she's trying to rest, and she wraps Paul's hand and gathers him in her arms. With tight, tired lips, she tells David to sit on his bed and stay there. Mom calls a neighbor to come over and rushes Paul to the emergency room. David sits on his bed. He waits and he waits. He hears Mom come home. She lays Paul on her bed and goes into the kitchen with the girls. She doesn't call Davy for supper, and Davy doesn't go down. He sleeps in his coonskin cap, hoping that the courage of Davy Crockett will seep into his brain. The next morning, Davy fixes himself 3 bowls of sugar smacks with extra sugar. His mom comes in and says, "Good morning." Davy asks, "How's Paul?" "Oh, he's fine. He needed a couple of stitches, but he will be okay." The important question, when will Dad get home? About supper time. Davy wonders about his punishment. For sure, he'll lose his TV privileges. No more Davy Crockett. Maybe isolation. He'll sleep in the garage. Or he might be banished to a family who doesn't have little kids to hurt. He didn't mean to hurt Paul. He didn't even know he had the power to hurt Paul. It's a long day. Finally, Dr. Dodge comes home from his medical conference and he calls, "David, come down here." Davy walks into his father's study and his dad says, "Shut the door." His dad is facing a floor-to-ceiling bookshelf where he pulls down a red book with gold lettering. He motions for Davy to sit next to him on the couch. Dr. Dodge opens the medical textbook and turns to the chapter on hands. He shows Davy a picture of the inside of a hand with its 27 bones from wrist to fingertip. He points out the muscles and the ligaments. Davy, the human hand is a marvelous thing. It can fire a gun or write a letter. It can build a bridge or tear it down. It can give someone a pat on the back or a punch in the nose. It's important how we use the power of the hand. Now, Davy, I can't show you a chapter on the power of words, but words are also powerful. You need to think about how you use your words. Davy's dad gets up, and from behind his desk, he pulls out a brown sack with a large cardboard box inside. The outside of the box says, Championship Sports, Williamsburg, Virginia. His father opens the box and he lifts out Amari Wills infielder's glove and a bright white baseball. He hands them to Davy, saying, There's one here also for Paul. Tomorrow, why don't the two of you see if they work? The next day, with soft tosses to Paul, he catches him fine with his left-handed glove. Dr. Dodge gave his boys more than a famous infielder's gloves and a ball. He gave undeserved grace, and he built a bridge for a relationship of reconciliation between brothers. There is power in words and hands. Think about how you use your words and your hands. They are marvelous things. Jesus is teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath. It's a day of worship and rest from one's labor. Among those there, Jesus sees a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over, and she could in no way raise herself up. Jesus called her to him. He looked at her and said, Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he reached out, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight and glorified God. Now, in the midst of this healing miracle and her praising God, the ruler of the synagogue angrily says to the crowd, There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. God led the Israelite people, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from 400 years of slavery in Egypt to go to the promised land, Canaan, a land that would be flowing with milk and honey and abundant fruit and grains. Through Moses, God gave the people laws of love. The laws were like a love letter from God. They were meant to teach them how to worship God, to honor their families, and live in peaceful community with one another. To people who had worked under harsh hands 7 days a week from sunrise to sunset, God gave them a day of rest. God said, work 6 days a week and rest one day. The day of rest was also a day of worship. It was a day to be grateful to God. In addition to the one day of rest a week, there were three feasts in which the people were to gather for days sometimes. They were to worship and also to feast on the food which they had longed for as they labored. Rituals, a certain way of repeatedly doing certain things, they can be valuable to our way of life. They can be comforting to the body and inspiring to the soul. Rituals should also come with a warning label. Rigid rituals can make the act of doing more important than the influx of God's free-flowing spirit into one's day. In his book, The Grand Sweep, 365 Days from Genesis through Revelation, J. Ellsworth Callis writes, In biblical religion, ritual is never an end in itself. The end is a relationship, first between God and us, and then between other human beings. A woman comes to the synagogue. There's no indication that she calls out to Jesus or tries to get his attention in any way. She simply came and she listened from her bent posture. Jesus uses his words and hands for healing. During this healing and glorifying of God by the woman, the synagogue ruler becomes angry. Now, synagogue was the general term for a congregation of people of Jewish religious faith. And then by extension, the name of the building or the structure in which the teaching and the worship took place was referred to as a synagogue. Like the word church applies to the body of believers of Jesus Christ, but it also used to note the building in which the people gather. So was the term synagogue. It was used for the people and place. A synagogue was at times like a community center. The ruler of the synagogue, he was responsible for not merely the upkeep and the operation of the house, but also for the order and the sanctity of the service. So in the ruler's mind, what just took place was out of order. For crying out loud, it was not in the bulletin. Plus, in the ruler's heart, it was not sacred. This woman with this severe illness should not have come on the day of worship, nor should she have verbally glorified God. One wonders, does he think the woman shouldn't come at all? We have to notice that the ruler did not directly address Jesus. Instead, he says to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work, therefore come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. While the synagogue ruler does not directly address Jesus, Jesus directly addressed the ruler. Jesus said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Any God-fearing Jew would care for his animals on the Sabbath. They would loose it or untie it and lead it to water. Why not have compassion for this woman, this daughter of their own faith, who was bound by disease? In our fallen world, disease and disability are common. Their causes are many and often multiple. Whatever their immediate cause of our illness, we can trace its original source to Satan because he's the author of all evil in our world. But the good news is that Jesus is more powerful than the devil or any disease. He often brings physical healing in this life, and when he returns, he will put an end to all disease and disability. Jesus uses his hands and his words to bring goodness. The synagogue ruler uses his words to rebuke and chastise rather than for compassion and to praise God. His rituals were so rigid and so set in stone that he could not experience God in his very midst. He could not bring glory to God over the healing of someone's suffering. Jesus said, think of it, 18 years she has been bound. Think of it. A hand can shoot a gun or write a love letter. A hand can build a bridge or tear it down. A hand can pat a back or punch a nose. A hand can slam a door or open it. Think of it. A word can crush a soul or lift a spirit. A word can discourage a heart or encourage hope. A word can build up anger, or a word can promote peace. A word can reject a person, or a word can redeem a person. The power of words lies in their ability to create, to build up, to heal, and inspire. Conversely, words can inflict pain, they can spread negativity, they can destroy, and they can damage relationships. In the early 1900s, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, a French writer and aviator, offered these inspiring words. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to gather wood, divide the work, and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea. Jesus wants to build a kingdom of God. He doesn't gather people to march in unison or launch a battle cry or take up arms to overthrow an earthly kingdom. Instead, Jesus teaches us to yearn for a kingdom where God is our leader and all citizens are equal. He inspires us to long for abundant life. Since Old Testament days, God has cast a vision for a world in which swords are beat into plowshares and nations shall not learn war anymore. A world in which a little child shall lead the calf and the young lion. A kingdom in which they shall not destroy or hurt in all my holy mountain. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus did not come to write us new laws on tablets of stone. Instead, he gave us the desire and the power to follow his words and his hands. We are to love God and love others. The rituals of our worship are a treasure in that they help us to connect to God and to have a personal relationship with God. The rituals of our daily life, our walk with God, are a treasure in that they help us to connect with our brothers and our sisters of this world with grace and build bridges of reconciliation. We are to think about how we use our hands and our words. We have the power to help and the power to hurt. We are to think about our rituals. They are a treasure that we are to hold loosely and to release for the weightier measures of life. The measures such as justice, mercy, and faith. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to use our hands and our words to build up your kingdom. Help us to bring glory to your name. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.